This podcast was recorded on Thursday, November 29th at 11:10 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like maybe someday a politician from Ohio will have to pay off a bet to a Michigan politician after Michigan beats Ohio State. Maybe someday.
I think Michigan has a longer losing streak than Ohio Democrats.
Thank God.
Ouch.
Let's talk politics.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and the shrewd Ohio Snollygosters who work at the State House and in Washington. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown, still pumped up from last weekend's thrashing of the Michigan Wolverines. Coming up on the podcast, how serious are John Kasich and Sherrod Brown about running for president? According to Kasich, very serious.
They're both very serious.
Both of them, wow.
But first, the rise and fall of the Chevy Cruze. Let's go back to 2012. Sherrod Brown was running for re-election. So was President Obama. They bailed out the auto industry, and one of the beneficiaries was General Motors. And Senator Brown proudly hailed the comeback in a TV ad.
I'm Sherrod Brown, and this is a Chevy Cruze. We're both from Ohio. The engine blocks made in Defiance. The aluminum wheels, Cleveland. Transmission from Toledo. And it's all assembled in Lordstown. I'm proud to have led the fight to pass the auto rescue package, helping to protect more than 800,000 Ohio jobs. I approve this message because
those were the days when gasoline was still expensive. Money was still tight. So inexpensive compact cars were back in style, and the highly rated Cruze was a hot enough seller to support three shifts at the GM plant in Lordstown in Northeast Ohio.
But because of economic cycles, gas prices came down, people started making more money and buying those bigger gas-guzzling SUVs, and Cruze sales dried up. Shifts were eliminated at the Lordstown plant, first the third shift, then the second, and then this week.
Today, General Motors announced a plan it says will accelerate its transformation for the future. What that acceleration looks like? Closing plants and cutting nearly 15,000 jobs.
Another town that relies on GM is Lordstown, Ohio. And today we asked the mayor there, Arno Hill, for his reaction to the news.
You know, I'm kind of disheartened that it happened, but I wasn't totally surprised.
So the Lordstown plant plans to stop production in March. That means about 1,500 workers there will be laid off. The plant will go into what GM calls unallocated status and might eventually reopen or might not.
Joining us now for more is ML Schulze. She's a longtime reporter in Northeast Ohio. You've heard her here on public radio stations around the state. And she has been following Lordstown and the events involving that plant for years. ML Schulze, welcome to Snollygoster.
Thanks so much for having me.
Just let's first start with the mood up there. It has to have been, it's not a terrible surprise because, you know, as we mentioned, that the shifts have been cutting back over the past few years, but it still had to be a stunner that the plant is going to close or shut down.
Yeah, and actually that's a real good distinction to make. Not a surprise, but still stunning. Folks here held on to hope that, you know, remember 2009, the way this plant came barreling out. It was retooled. It was the first post-recession model that was made was the Cruze. Everybody was believing. Every politician in the world couldn't get close enough to that plant. This was the American success story for the new age, and then it wasn't.
So a lot of politicians at the time took credit. Some are taking blame now. Some have blamed GM. Governor Kasich blamed market forces. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, President Trump at least partially blamed Sherrod Brown. He said Brown didn't do enough to get the point across to General Motors. Brown tweeted that President Trump should stop pointing fingers and then said he should support his American Cars, American Jobs Act. When you talk to workers, who do they seem to be blaming the most?
Well, of course, they, if you look at all three shifts that were there at one time, more than 5,000 of them, are very different. They have different points of view. But overall, I found it kind of interesting that President Trump blamed Ohio's Democratic senator, but not Ohio's Republican senator, Rob Portman.
Or the Republican governor.
Right. Well, I actually, President Trump probably would blame Kasich if he could find the opportunity.
He'd blame him for everything if he could.
But you know, both Portman and Brown went whole hog on going after Mary Barra, saying, look, you've got to do something. They both met with her. They were as in as politicians can be in trying to save thousands of jobs in their home states.
So, Schulte, can you blame politicians for this? I mean, we heard Sherrod Brown taking credit for saving the jobs up there. Should he be blamed if he's going to take credit?
Well, every politician takes credit if you take blame. Honestly, I think so much of this is beyond politics. I know you guys are like me. We focus on politics as the core for so many things. What did happen back in 2008, 2009, GM's bankruptcy, there was money to bail out the company. There was money to give the company a chance to make a go of it. And this Cruise, I mean, the one thing I got to point out to people, it's a really good car. Mm-hmm. It's a great car.
No, it's very highly rated.
Oh, yeah. And I had one, and it was great. But I think what happens is government can give it a chance, but it can't make consumers buy cars they don't want to buy. And even though it's a good car, it's the wrong car.
You know, Schulte, as we said, this plant is not technically going away forever. It's right now what GM calls in unallocated status, or it will be come March. And some people are holding out hope. Dave Green leads the United Auto Workers Union local there that covers the plant. The night of the news, he told you, he said in a town hall meeting when you were there, that GM's master contract with the union is up in September, and he says the company might be trying to gain leverage by pitting local unions against each other.
This is something that has been going on for decades. The corporation will go to one plant and, you know, they want whatever they want, and they go to the next plant and they get one more, and then they go back and forth until they think they get all they can get.
And again, you got that tape the night that they got this news. It is still very early, but is there a realistic expectation that this factory will be retooled and these workers might get back to work at the same plant?
How realistic it is hard to know.
Yeah.
They did come up with this new word, unallocated status, which nobody over there had ever heard before. You know, they've heard shutdowns, they've heard idled, but nobody knows quite what that word means. And so a lot of folks who are looking to have hope are latching onto that, saying maybe it can be retooled. It's kind of interesting that when this plant was built, or I'm sorry, was retooled for the Cruise, they said if the Cruise should ever fail, which is never, ever, ever going to happen, but if it should, this plant has been done up in such a way that we can retool it very fast, very quickly, and get a new line in here. But fast in the auto industry is a whole different thing, and nobody was talking about electric vehicles back then.
Yeah. Schulte, how can, you know, Donald Trump has visited this area quite a bit, and I think as recently as 2017, maybe even more recently than that, said they're bringing the jobs back. They're going to open up the old plants. They're going to tear down the old plants and open up new plants and bring manufacturing jobs back. How can he come back for the upcoming campaign to Northeast Ohio and say he's helping manufacturing workers in Northeast Ohio?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump can say many things and does, and he'll say it's Sherrod Brown's fault. There is still a lot of belief in him in this area. This used to be a Democratic area. This is the area of the state that made that change in 2016 from Barack Obama to Donald Trump. Now, you do hear a lot of folks around the union hall now going, oh, yeah, remember when he said don't sell your house? I told people then that was stupid. Well, that is a faction, but that is the faction, the union faction, that was still very much behind Democrats. The regular folks out there are still holding out hope that Donald Trump at least was talking about their issues. And it's hard when you believe in somebody to walk away from them.
How much patience do they have?
I don't know. I honestly don't. A lot depends on whether there's any sign of other changes that indicate that Donald Trump's way of going about government is working in their favor. You know, it's 2 years away from a presidential election. It's going to take a while for this to shake out.
You know, we should say that an old General Motors plant in Dayton was eventually purchased by a Chinese auto glass maker, and that company now employs more people in the Dayton area than GM ever did. So there is some precedent. I mean, I know that, you know, it's easy for me to say I'm not the one losing my job, but it's a tough break for those folks.
My guess is those folks are making less than the GM auto workers.
Right, they probably are. They probably are.
Still,
and there are complaints about working conditions too. I mean, you got to remember, even though the UAW took concessions and took pay cuts and changed work rules, it still was the best job you were going to get if you didn't have some kind of higher level training.
Sure. ML Schulte, longtime Northeast Ohio reporter, has been following the news that GM plans to close or, quote, unallocate its Lordstown, Ohio plant come next March. Schulze, thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Schulze.
Okay, let's turn now to the 2020 presidential campaign. So that means we have to break out John Kasich GPS.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
I think I've eaten my way across the entire state of New York.
Ground control to...
Each week we track our outgoing governor as he campaigns for his future after leaving office here in Ohio. This week he made it official. He is officially... thinking about running for president.
How seriously are you thinking about taking it on this time?
Very seriously. I'm considering it, George. These are earnest conversations that go on virtually every day with some of my friends, with my family. Look, we need different leadership. There isn't any question about it.
That's John Kasich on This Week with George Stephanopoulos. Also on This Week, this show, also serious.
Since the election, Connie and I have been really overwhelmed by the number of people from around the country that have said we should think about doing this. And I haven't made, but we're seriously thinking about it. We're seriously talking about it with family and friends and political allies who have come to me about this.
So here's how this goes, Steve. We go from I'm leaving all of my options open to I'm thinking about it. To seriously thinking about it. Is that the progression we're at right now?
When are they going to be going steady? When does it reach that level?
Well, I think John Kasich is close. I think, 13 months out from Iowa caucuses, they better be serious.
He still has an R next to his name. I think he's running. I'm interested in how he runs.
I go back and forth because I thought, we talked about this a few weeks ago when he was on The View, and he really kind of stressed the viability of a third party or an independent run. And now he's back more talking as a Republican and running in the Republican primary. So who knows?
Yeah, he told George Stephanopoulos the party lacks leadership. Also, we're going the wrong direction on some policies. He cited immigration specifically. Again, it's just so milquetoast. He's not saying anything. He's just very seriously considering.
He's keeping his name in there. He's keeping his name under consideration. I think he's waiting to see what Bob Mueller's report says. I think that's what it comes down to. If Bob Mueller comes out with some pretty damning stuff, either linking the president to the Russian interference in the election or linking the president to a cover-up, then that opens the door pretty wide for a possible Republican challenge.
I'm not even sure he'd win then. I don't even know what President Trump would have to do in order to alienate his base. It would have to be severe. And I don't think at this point, I don't know how much any collusion with Russia or anything else would affect that.
Yeah, again, there has to be a smoking gun. I think
it has to be bad.
There has to be a smoking gun because, Trump has been sort of, attacking the media and attacking Mueller all along, laying the groundwork for doubt in this investigation. So if Mueller does not come up with some rock solid evidence, I think you're right that the base will stick with him. But if there is some rock solid evidence and John Kasich can win New Hampshire and a Republican challenger, whether Jeff Flake or somebody else, even Mitt Romney's been talked about as possibly jumping into the race, can win New Hampshire and then, maybe keep it close in South Carolina, then get to the Midwestern states primaries, then you could have a race. If it's bad enough, Trump might say, I'm not going to run again. He could pull a Lyndon Johnson and say, I'm out. And then it really opens up. So I think Kasich is just trying to keep his options open.
Yeah. On the Democratic side, I know Sherrod Brown would face a litany of opponents as well. Beto O'Rourke.
He's also seriously considering.
I'm seriously considering buying a million-dollar mansion. I don't know if you knew this, but I'm very seriously considering it.
Serious away. Think away.
Whatever happens, we will be here to cover it here on Snollygoster.
But, Sherrod Brown is, there was one... this is the Oregon newspaper, so take it for what it's worth. They had their final four.
I love Oregon.
They had their final four Democrats, and Sherrod Brown was among the final four with three women. They had their final four, if I recall correctly. They had Sherrod Brown, Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, Kamala Harris from California, and Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts.
That sounds right to me.
So that's their final four.
No Syracuse? No, Syracuse or North Carolina or Kentucky?
Syracuse did have a good week this week.
Yeah, they did. Thanks a lot for that.
They look pretty good.
Mike, a Syracuse alum. Syracuse beat Ohio State in basketball this week. Anyway, whoever runs for president will be covering it here on Snollygoster. You can send us suggestions on how to cover that or how to cover anything else. Just send us an email to snollygoster@wosu.org. You can also give us a good review on iTunes. Tell your buddies about us, however you want to do it. Just spread the word. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster on WOSU Public Media.